Hello everybody, I'm Nikayla Strauss from Colorado State University, and I'm here to talk about my undergraduate research, which was the development and validation of Cas markers for the chat gene in winter wheat. And this was all under the supervision and with the help of Victoria Anderson and Dr. Scott Haley. So first I will give everyone a little bit of background on the wheat stem sawfly, the chat gene, and what Cas genotyping is, and then I'll go into details of my research plan and what it means for the CSC wheat breeding program. Wheat stem sawfly has been a pest in Canada and Montana since the beginning of the last century, and over the past 5 years it has been reported further and further south, and it was officially labeled a pest in Colorado in 2010. Because of this concerning trend, the wheat breeding program at CSU is taking an interest in breeding for resistance to these wasps in anticipation of further infestations. The chat gene codes for the protein Z3-hexan-1-acetyltransferase, and it contributes to the production of green leaf volatiles that attract the wheat stem sawfly by converting the hexanol to the hexanil acetate, which you can see in the red box at the bottom of the image. And the plant is releasing this volatile to attract the wasp because it's being eaten by aphids. And wasps are a natural predator of aphids, but unfortunately in this case the wasp is also the pest. So it would be more beneficial if the plant was not producing this volatile. And a single nucleotide polymorphism, or a SNP, in the gene on the A and D genomes may keep the 2,3-hexanol in the alcoholic state, and meaning it's not able to volatilize and attract the wasp. CASP stands for Competitive Allele-Specific PCR. It's a genotyping technology that was developed by LGC Genomics, and it's a faster way to genotype a population because it does not require gel electrophoresis or the sequencing of PCR amplicons, and it can also identify heterozygotes in its cluster analysis. However, it does require the design of a highly specific assay for each locus. This assay contains two competitive allele-specific forward primers and one common reverse primer, and each forward primer will have a specific tail sequence, either FAM or HEX, which leads to the fluorescence. So one forward primer will have the sequence of the SNP and one will not, and the common reverse primer will create a fragment with either one. And once it starts to elongate, the tail sequence is generated, like I said, that has the FAM or the HEX. The fret cassette binds to the tail, and by releasing the FAM or HEX, that's what generates the fluorescence. So this is an example of a cluster analysis. This is how you analyze the data from a CASP reaction. And in the bottom left, you have the black marks that are negative DNA controls, the green heterozygotes in the middle, and then the blue and red homozygotes. And what you want to see is three distinct clusters with very few outliers. So this is my general research plan. First, to obtain DNA through tissue sampling, to design genome-specific primers for both A and D genomes, optimize the PCR, sequence the amplicons, and use those sequences to create Cas target sequence, and then test on the progeny of chat mutants crossed with bird. In the CSU wheat breeding program, there's one individual with the confirmed mutation in the A genome and one individual with the confirmed mutation in the D genome. I planted 8 reps of each individual along with 8 reps of a wild type wheat, which was bird in this situation. I then extracted them using an SDS extraction method, and I have published my results in the table in the slide. And another great thing about CASP is that it doesn't require extremely high-quality DNA, so I was able to use what's considered a more crude SDS protocol. So in order to design my genome-specific primers, I first had to gather reference sequences, and this work was provided to me by another researcher in the program, Dr. Harish Manmathan, and he found the reference sequences by first taking the known sequence in Arabidopsis and inputting it into gene databases and searching, and he found a Brachypodium sequence, and Brachypodium is a plant that is very similar to wheat. So he then took the Brachypodium sequence and used comparative genetics to again search through the databases and found a similar sequence in wheat. So this is an example photo of what my Genius software looked like and how I would design my primers. I aligned the 5 reference sequences, and I also had reference sequences of each of the mutant individuals. And for example, if that boxed green T was the SNP mutation that I was targeting, I would try to include all of the colored sections in my primer design, or as many as possible. The colored sections are where the sequences differ from the reference sequence in the program. So those are variations that could make my primer's genome specific. So I designed 3 sets of primers for each genome and did preliminary tests, but I ultimately narrowed it down to 1 and moved on to optimizing my PCR. Here are the photos of some of my final gels, and as you can see, the ChAT-A does not exactly look genome specific, but I can explain the A, B, and D columns. That is for the A, B, and D genomes in wheat. I used diploid DNA from the ancestors to test genome specificity. The H stands for hexaploid, and I used either bird or the mutant, and negative control just to test that the PCR didn't have any contaminations. So what I wound up doing was a nested PCR, meaning that I had 1 forward and reverse for my gels, and because I did get some other amplifications in some other genomes, I designed another forward primer that was also complementary to the reverse primer, except this forward primer would amplify within this PCR amplicon, and it's like another layer of genome specificity. And when I got my sequences back, I didn't have any multiple reads. I did have genome specificity. By aligning the sequences of the confirmed mutants with the reference sequences, I was able to see the distinct variances between the sequences. I used these variances to describe the target area for the design of the CASP primers so that they will also be genome specific. Once the upstream and downstream regions were determined, I sent my DNA to LGC for them to make the assay. So currently I am waiting for my assay to come back, and when I get it back, I will validate it by testing it on segregating progeny from the back crosses between chat mutants and bird, and then I will analyze the cluster and make sure that it does have the 3 separate groups, and we will sequence them to make sure that they are still genome specific. But once this is all done, then it will be able to be implemented in the CSU wheat breeding program. And CASP genotyping, besides being cheaper and more accurate, will make marker-assisted selection in the program more efficient. And in order to validate the effects of the mutations in the chat gene, it needs to be incorporated into current varieties and tested in the field. CASP will aid in the incorporation of the mutations and a possible resistant variety. Thank you.